sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Welcome et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Labanor. Okay, mesdames et messieurs, today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on January 22nd, 2025. Sorry, I had the wrong date. Today's episode is rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as the staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Exclusive, exclusive, exclusive. All right, before I continue with my shenanigans, I need to acknowledge what I believe to be the heartbeat of this conversation or this interaction or this thing of ours here, me and you. And I need to acknowledge all you listeners. Give it up for yourselves. You beautiful people. Now, if this happens to be your first time joining us, then also give it up for yourself. But please know that on this side of the microphone, I applaud you. Yay! Here's hoping we make history together. All right. Yeah, you know what? I didn't factor that in. Just because you're a first-time listener, there's a chance you'll be like, "What the fuck is this?" But you know, I'm trying to focus on the positive, on the ones that are like listening and being like, "Let me check out the next episodes. Let me tell my friends. Damn, let me write a positive review about this. Let me beat the shit out of someone for talking shit about the podcast." Okay, whoa, come on, one day at a time, be black. One day at a time. But yes. It's very important for me to acknowledge the listeners. Because without you, I'm a crazy guy talking on a microphone by himself. All right, okay. sorry. I should point out, if it's not obvious, that I'm assuming it's obvious that I didn't publish in the last episode because I was feeling sick. And then I was telling myself, you know, I feel better, good enough to record an episode. But then the cough kicked in, and I can sense the low energy kicking in. Like the passion for speaking is there, but it's like, yo, there's some hindrance going on. What's that? Okay, focus, be still on script. All right, one more thing, one last note. Website is shutuppodcast.com. And email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. People still send emails, right? I mean, I know they do, but is it like, has it gotten to the point where email are considered like, grandpa? Excuse me. Sorry, I recently turned 50 and I'm getting used to realizing that or accepting that I'm the elder. I'm a young elder, but I'm an elder. All right. So I got. All right. Yes, today's episode is titled 235. I don't need to be here. I'll be discussing the three phases, what I like to call the three phases I went through after Andy from the Three Guys On read my letter on one of their episodes. Three phases, right? Okay. Now, before I get to that, we're going to do our usual shenanigans. And first, I'm going to start out with some quotes. And first one goes, I say quotes, maybe I'm going to show quotes, ideas, and skeets. But for now, let's just call it quotes, all right? But, okay. First one goes, stop being sensitive. And the response is, nah, stop lacking emotional intelligence. Okay. Shout out to the Sigma Empath. Sigma. Anyway, yeah, Sigma Empath on Instagram. Homies has some dope ass ideas. All right. Second one. Next quote goes, again, shout out to you listeners. It goes, to listen is to be awake in the present without running away from what's actually here. Quick note, I was thinking about the thing I was going through at work, and basically I was emailing a project manager who I'm helping out on a project, and I was trying to say, hey, you know how on your project plan you say we're supposed to be doing A? Well, turns out your A consists of A, D, A.1 and A.2 and blah, 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 blah. And all this asshole heard is, oh, so you don't want to do it? So anyways, motherfucker. But I remember I was going back and forth, and I was taking offense to the fact that he wasn't understanding what the fuck I was trying to explain to him. And but it hit me. I just let it go, man. I have this new thing where I stop trying to explain myself to people who are like, can't hear me out. But it's interesting. To listen is to be awake in the present without running away from what's actually here. I'm trying to tell him something, but this motherfucker is hearing things that I'm not actually saying. But whatever, it is what it is. Shout out to Blue Sky Wilson Hurley for that quote. Next one. Oh, this one comes from Reddit. Man, fuck Reddit. That's another story. No, sorry, that's another conversation. But this one I got from Reddit from the Motivational Thoughts. It goes, let them judge you. Let them misunderstand you. Let them gossip about you. Their opinions aren't your problem. You stay kind, committed to love, and free in your authenticity. Oh, thank you. No matter what they do or say, don't you doubt your worth or the beauty of your truth. God damn. Just keep shining like you always do. Man, holy shit. Okay, here's the funny thing is, when I found this quote, I stuck to the words, let them judge you, and I didn't read the whole thing. So that's why it's like the reaction you're hearing is like for the first time, it's like, damn. it's like the ancestors really wanted me to read this. All right, okay. Last quote, again, from Reddit, Motivational Picks. It goes, trauma says I have to overexplain myself to be understood and accepted. Hold on a second.
Message.
Okay, again, trauma says I have to over-explain myself to be understood and accepted.
Message.
Healing says I am learning to trust my own voice and be comfortable with being misunderstood. My value is not determined by others, by my other perceptions of me. Zara Bass. Oh, man, she deserves a... Anna. Can I make that? I think I'm gonna make that a compliment. She deserves a Guldarak go. That doesn't make any sense. But it's my goddamn podcast. All right, Zara Bass. Oh, whoa. Well then, Zara Bass is not a black woman. I don't see her picture. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Anyways, thank you for this soul, Zara Bass. That was the message. The reason I had message at the beginning is because of the story that I was telling you early. And then Look, it was just dope. Just, again, shout out to the ancestors for that one. Okay, that's it for quotes. Let's do some randomness before I get to the topic at hand, all right? Okay, so fuck it. Before I get to the topic at hand. Problem is, every time I add sound effects, is I have to clean that shit up in editing. And lately, I don't like doing a lot of editing. Come on, B, you're trying to be lazy here. All right, okay. All right, first thought. You know, I realized, no, you know, fuck it. First thought. I call this one A Tale of Two Producers and the 80-20 rule. Okay, so here's what's going on. For those of you who heard the announcement, I talked about how I'm planning on making changes to my intro music. And I did. I actually went on one of those freelance sites. to my surprise, was an Israeli freelance site. And I felt like Google, where does Fiverr stand on Palestine? Anyway, whatever. What's done is done. I've gotten service. Wait, hold on a second. Yeah, I've gotten help from Fiverr. Actually, once. And it worked out. It was a cool dude from Bangladesh. But in this particular case, I got a rapper, producer, I'm going to take my time with this story. Okay, so essentially, I found someone to create an instrumental for my podcast to replace, because I wanted to replace the theme song you hear at the beginning of the podcast with a new instrumental, something shorter, just so I could just get into the podcast. Don't get me wrong, I love my theme song, and that's what we're going to talk about. Love, underline the word love. I love my theme song, but we're at episode 235, and I'm like, time needs some change. Also, it's kind of like I've been watching The Sopranos. When I watch The Sopranos, I skip the theme song because I'm fucking tired of it. You know what? Hold on a second. Anyway, so here's where I'm going with this. So I figured I would just get a little shorter instrumental, 15. This thing is like 30 seconds to start off the show. And I've been thinking about it for a while. And I remember I was on my, it was during my trip, during my cruise that I finally put pen thoughts on paper to decide, okay, what do I want to sound like, and so that I know what to ask a producer about it. It's like, you know, again, you're right, whatever. So I finally put words on paper, and I had an idea, and I got on Fiverr. Like, I remember being excited, got on Fiverr, and I started looking for a producer. I found one, and I felt like I was reading his profile, had everything I wanted, and then I went through all his music. Dope, yo. He was the only person who every one of his music were like dope. Like the way he raps and the way he makes beats. Like, yo, this dude, holy shit. If this dude was a musician, like, I could picture him being like, I'd be a fan of this dude. So his rap song and his beats. The only thing is, not a criticism, but I noticed that when I had decided on an instrumental, I had put it myself, now I want an 80s early hip-hop style. I want people, when they hit play, they know, oh, there's an old head on this podcast. So it's interesting. So his music was like more recent, not mumble rap recent, but like he's like enjoyable hip-hop, right? Look, he was making good music. This is my point. And I'm going to call this a true B-Black flash. I'm saying, hey, You make great hamburgers. Can you make a pizza? Like, this dude's going to be like, nah, homeboy, that's out of my element. He's going to be like, no, that's a fucking challenge. Anyway, so I holler at the dude. Okay, you know what? Let me fast forward. Let's see. Okay, I worked with the dude. It was fun working with the guy. We connected over the fact that we both enjoyed Run DMC. Honestly, I thought I was like the older guy talking to a very young guy, and I was about to say, back in my days, I paid a nickel to see a picture. Anyways, yeah. No, it turns out that homeboy, you know, he was like, yeah, no. Because I told him, he asked me for a reference, and I said something about Run DMC, and he said, "Oh shit, you know, we bonded over the fact that we both enjoyed Run DMC." And then he made the beat, and I'll be honest with you, man, Homeboy delivered. Let's go. I'm gonna go with 80%, 90% of what I want, of what I wanted. But the thing is, one thing I have to add is, he did it in 2 days. I was like, "Oh boy, take your fucking time." But I guess I did communicate that to him, like, "Take your time, dude. You know, don't rush the Mona Lisa here. Take your time." But I guess he's like, "Boom, boom, boom. Nah, not this generation. We put out. I'm at 60 mixtapes, dog." Talking like, anyways. Long story short, he delivered in 2 days. And the best part I appreciate the most about this guy is how he, because there was some tweaking that I wanted to do on my own, and he said, "Yeah, here, take the stems," and he let me have I didn't know that word up until this point. It's called stem files. Essentially, he gave me all the elements of the beat so I could upload it. I could import it into my DAW, nerd talk, into my the same program I used to edit my podcast. And then I could, switch shit around myself, right? And, I'm really grateful for that, right? So, I remember the night before it hit me, the beat was playing in my head. No, this is what really happened. It's not that the beat was playing in my head. Is when I posted the lyrics for my theme song, because on the last episode or the last message that I posted, I said that, "Hey, by the way, there's no podcast, but by the way, theme song will be replaced, and check out my, what did I say?" I just realized, I shared the lyrics for my theme song. In order to do that, essentially by doing that, it had me, because I was going through the lyrics, playing the theme song, and that shit set me from memory lanes. All the good times, the bad time me and this theme song had together, and how it was created. Shout out to my homegirl, King Kimbit, local artist. If you haven't heard of it, Google her. Anyway, yeah, I recommend her. Yeah, I remember I give her executive producer credit on this one. Or co-executive producer on this. Essentially, I remember I was looking for a theme song, and I hollered at her. Oh, because I was, after listening to her album, I hollered at her, and I said, "I need help coming up with a theme song." And she just helped me narrow down some ideas. And she went from helping me narrow down some ideas to hooking me up with a producer. Yo, this producer, her name is Shazzy. I really hope I'm pronouncing her name wrong. Is it Shazzy? Shazzy. And whatever. She gave me this beat. It wasn't initially what I wanted, what I expected. It caught me by surprise, but that shit was seductive. The same beat that you hear, that shit was seductive. And it fit perfectly, and I got it to fit with the lyrics, and then she gave me some studio time, and I recorded. I want to emphasize the fact she gave me the beat. To this day, I was pursued. I said, "Look, can I pay you? Can I give you some money?" She never gets back to me. Whatever. I'm gonna have to find her favorite charity or whatever. But she gave me a beat. See, what you don't understand, for some context, is this was 2021, year 2, 2021. 2020, I was in a very dark place. Yes. In 2020, I couldn't picture getting back into podcasting. I barely wanted to get out, open my eyes, and face this madness called the world. I hated life. So I went from this dark place to therapy, from therapy to, because it was from therapy that I was like, "Okay, all right, let me give this podcasting shit a chance, but let me start with the theme music. With this theme song." The gift that she gave me, it's like I want to say it's, after she gave me that beat, it's not just the gesture, but the beat with my lyrics, I remember playing it. It felt like one of the few beautiful things to happen to me in life. It was a beautiful moment. Like, you know, it was, it's not just that, again, love the beat. This beat was there when I was crawling out of my dark days. I remember that, right? And, sorry, I'm realizing where I'm going with this, the point I'm trying to make. Okay, so this beat was there when I was crawling out of my dark days. And also, the whole combination of human connection, human kindness, you know, I'm never going to be able to repay King Kimbit and Shazzy, DJ Shazzy for Shazzy. Oh my God, what's her name? Shazzy, yeah. I feel like the white guy who, or is it Sazzy? Oh, nope, that's not her. DJ, yeah, it's set. God damn it, I hate when I do this. It's Sazzy, yeah, man, stop being so. You know, okay. And okay, focus. I'm sorry, gang. I'm sorry. All right. I don't know if that's trauma or whatever. Human kindness. This beat has been there since the reincarnation of Shut Up Podcast from the get-go. And yeah, I guess I got tired of it. But it's been there from the beginning. And then now I listen to this new beat. You know what? Actually, I'm going to play the new beat now to see how it makes me feel. But all I know is I remember after going through the lyrics, all these feelings came coming up about it. And I'm like, yo, this is a dope-ass lyric. This is a dope-ass song. Why the fuck are we getting rid of this theme song? Oh, because someone might get tired of hearing it? Fuck it. Anyways, and then I was playing the new beat from the new guy. I'm going to call him DJ Fiverr. just for now. The beat was playing in my head, and I don't know, it hit me. I'm like, fuck, I love my theme song. I like this new beat. And I mean, no disrespect to the producer, the creative, right? But honestly, I feel like this new beat is like the young bimbo secretary with the big tits and the fat ass and a beautiful smile that I shouldn't trust, that I cheated on for the wife I had, for the good woman I had at home. That's what it feels like right now. I think that's what it is, but I feel like I cheated on my wife, and now I'm stuck with this bimbo chick who can't remember my birthday. And this is where I'm going with the 80-20 rule. A friend of mine, he had this, colleague, co-worker, he had this theory about how when you marry a woman, you fall in love, whatever, she's got 80-20 of what you want. And usually the skank that you end up cheating on her with ends up having 20-80 of what you want. I mean, it's a fucked up trade. It was a story about, man, fellas, keep your dick in your pants. Don't lose a good woman. All this to say that I have Luther Vandross, I rather, playing in my head when I think about the new beat and the old, my theme song and this new beat. I taught some time alone. I'm not going to sing it because no one listens to this podcast for my singles. I taught some time alone is what we really needed. I'd rather have bad times with you with good time with someone else. my theme song is like Mary J. Blige talking about 11 years all of my life, and you could drop me at a drop of a dime. Yeah, right now. Anyway, so my theme. Anyways, okay. So let me play. Let me see how I feel right now. Let's see if I still feel like I'm cheating on my theme song. Right, and you guys did say, I appreciate you listening, but here we go. Oh, no, there's no episode today. Why the fuck would you do that? Okay, just a sec. Where is the... Oh, I forgot one part. Okay, this is another element I forgot to bring up is the new guy who made the beat. The major difference between the new producer and the old producer is the old producer. When I asked, I both asked him the same question: what made you pick that melody? And the one who made my theme song, she said, "Well, when I think of the theme, Shut Up podcast, I'm thinking." She said, "Mellow. It's like prepare myself to listen. Her attention was to make the audience put them in the mood to want to listen to the words." I'm like, "Oh man, I nearly hugged her." Now the new guy, he stuck more on the idea of, well, you said you wanted some old school shit. And I think what bothered me is the new guy didn't bother to understand the podcast, to check out the new podcast. I don't think he knows what my podcast is called. Because I gave him some background information about the podcast, but nothing about what he created actually gives me the impression that, oh, that's the name of your podcast? Oh, it's about what? It's about you, you know, I think that's what, anyways, okay, so I did a lot of talking, but let me play the new beat, and now I'm going to see how I feel. So, okay, let's do this. Brace yourself. Okay, here we go. Okay. Okay, one more time. Hold on a second. Hey. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't feel right putting, you cannot talk. Yeah, just go in. All right, okay. You know what? The only thing, okay, I think I'm going to tweak. I'm going to make that change that I wanted to make to the beat and see if that changes my mood. But yeah, all right, okay. I less feel like I'm cheating. I kind of feel like my theme song is like, no, you could have a side check. I got permission to do it. Yeah, I know. Okay, it's not that bad. It's not as bad. Maybe, yeah, I gotta stop like trying to make decisions in the middle of the night. My favorite part was the drum beat. Boom, 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 boom. That's how, because I told him, yeah, you know, Here We Go by Run DMC. Yeah, I want that beat. He goes, oh, that's my second favorite Run DMC track. Anyways, yeah, so maybe the beginning of this episode, I haven't decided, whatever. By the time you hear this podcast, you'll know which decision I made on whether to start the podcast with the new beat or the old theme song, but we'll see. All right, okay, les amis, what time is it? Oh, wow, okay, so I went over my limit of... I'm just gonna jump real quick. Yeah, you know what? Okay, I'm gonna save this next item that I was gonna talk about for another podcast, for another episode, because there's a lot of ideas in there. But the one last note that I'm gonna bring up before I get to the main topic is, if this was a segment, I would call it Rap Done Change. They wanna know how I feel about it. All right. I in the show notes, I'm going to leave you episode BDS 545, Penis Veneers, of The Black Guy Who Tips. And there's a portion where they talk about Drake's lawsuit towards his record label. You know, basically, what is he thinking? You know, it's, you know, nah, I'm, that's, Let me put it this way. I'm just gonna leave the episode there for your own thoughts, but I'm just gonna I'm putting that episode there as a way to say they had me thinking about Drake. And I've been thinking a lot about rappers. The inauguration and all these rappers who decided to perform at the Donald Trump's inauguration. And yeah, rap changed, man. Rap changed like a motherfucker. But then who knows, man? Maybe I'm the one who's old. And maybe I'm the one who's older and would have seen the scam. Would have seen that a lot of these rappers are just a bunch of scammers like Dr. Umar. And yeah, I wrote that. I go, rappers went from rapping about bitches and hoes from being bitches and hoes. That's a shout out at Drake. That's a shot against Drake. Rappers went from fuck the police to let's vote for the guy who will give more funding to the police. That's a fuck you to Ice Cube. And then this one is rappers went from bragging about all the money they got to being purchased by people who had more money than they did. Bitches. I still remember fucking BET. You broke motherfuckers, broke. Look at me with all this money. I'm throwing it away. And then some dude who had a bigger fish came up and said, you know what? I'm going to purchase your integrity. And that's a middle finger to Snoop Dogg. And I say middle finger, I'm expressing disappointment. I need to learn how to articulate because people get distracted. Yeah, that's just my disappointment in Snoop Dogg, Rick Ross. But I mean, come on. Snoop Dogg been telling us, I'm not really a good person. It ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. Anyways, I think Soulja Boy just said it best. Man, I'm just doing it for the money. Like, I can imagine, when I was seeing the clips of those two performing, I want to be clear, anything related to Trump, I really scroll by, so I really scroll quick. But as I was scrolling and noticing these two performing in front of MAGA supporters, all I could think about is how beautiful it must have felt to see that check clear, or to get that direct deposit. I don't know how rich people pay each other, but whatever, how they pay these celebrities. I imagine it was a check. I imagine they got a phone call from their accountant says, yep, we got the money. The money came in. And then, you know, what about your integrity? Man, fuck my integrity. Are you not seeing this bank balance? My baby mom is about to send me to prison. I got to pay this bitch. Yeah, whatever. Whatever. All I'm saying is, not to say that I can relate, I can be on that level, but I remember this one time there was I received a huge bank balance, and it was large enough for me to be like, I understand selling out. I mean, there's a lot I could do with this money. The value of selling out, but anyway, whatever. Anyways, okay, that's it. Where are we at? Okay, just a second. I keep forgetting that I'm sick and I need to hydrate. All right, les amis, let me just check my phone, make sure that's not my Instacart. Okay, it's coming tomorrow. Oh, I didn't mention this. Yeah, man, it's in the city of Ottawa, in the unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territories. It's fucking cold. But here's the thing. I can see the digits. I can touch, like I opened my window. No, my screen door. It was enough for me to be like, nope, this is the first year where I'm like, yeah, you know what? Fuck this. I have a Canadian passport and a Canadian birth certificate. I don't need to validate my Canadian citizenship by going out in the cold and being like, hey, look at me in the cold. Nah, fuck that. This is the first year where, I'm choosing to stay home, no shame, during an extreme cold weathers. I'm talking about, I've been working from home. Well, granted, I have this cold, so sometimes I have this cold. So I've been working from home, and I've been Ubering Eats and Instacarting it like a motherfucker. I'm playing a game and say, how long can I stay cooped up in this place before I lose my sanity? Lose my sanity and talk on a microphone to myself. No, shout out to you listeners. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. But it's still funny. It's still funny to talk about, like, you know. I know I have a small audience. That's my point. That's what I'm getting at. All right. Yeah, so this is it for quotes and randomness. Now it's time for the last thought. And before we do that, I'm going to take a quick break and holla back. All right. And I am back with a stuffy nose. Hey, actually, I have like 3 humidifiers running in this place. And that shit works. Okay, you know, maybe, okay, if it wasn't for this microphone, maybe I could pause and... You can probably hear it in the background. I'm in my room. I have a humidifier and what do you call those things? Air filter. An air filter that I haven't maintained in a while. So, but whatever. It's kind of helping. It's disgusting. I don't feel if I'm getting props for getting out of my sick bed to record this episode or... Whatever. I wanted to record, and I'm recording. All right, okay. First, I want to say shout out to Alicia Cara and her song "Here." I'm realizing that this is the second time I'm the theme of my podcast or the title or whatever is related to a song that she wrote. Yeah, I'm telling. All right. If I'm telling you, fuck it. Yeah. So no, she's got a song called "Here," and my title is "I don't need to be here." It'll make sense after I get through to what I'm saying. All right. So, Three Guys On have an episode called 1422 Backstabbing Backstage that I recommend that you listen, that you check out. Not just because it's the episode where they read the letter I've been telling you about for a while. Now, for you returning listeners, for you long-term listeners, some of you may be aware that of the have heard me talk about this email I kept meaning to write to Three Guys On. Like, if you've been listening to me, there was probably a time where you're like, man, shut the fuck up. Write it. Shit or get off the pot. Write it or don't. Like, there was always like, okay, I'm getting ready to write it. I'm going to finally write it. And blah, blah, blah. And then finally, sometimes around before Christmas, before the holidays, I finally wrote it and hit that send button. And then... And to my pleasure, they read it out on the episode, like I said, 1422. Excuse me. And when I heard it, I went through 3 phases. Phase one. That's what we're going to talk about. Phase one, right? As after Andy read my message, Randolph, the co-host, okay, I should mention, right? Andy's the co there are 3 guys on, 3 guys, right? So one of the hosts of the podcast, or one of the 3 hosts, goes, and I put it in quote, I actually copied and pasted from their transcript. It goes, so you know, thank you for writing such a heartfelt stuff, and thank you for trusting us with it. You heard that sentence, right? And he goes, with your trusting us, okay. So you know, thank you for writing such a heartfelt stuff, and thank you for trusting us with it, with your thoughts, because we could be here clowning you because you know. Oh, sorry. Why am I chuckling? You heard what I read, right? Which part? Let's play a game. Which part of that sentence do you think I initially locked on to? Was it A, thank you for such a heartfelt stuff, thank you for trusting us with it, with your thoughts? Or B, because we could have been here clowning you? Hold on a second. If you said A, you were wrong. Phase one of the message was like, wait, what? I'm laughing at that. Okay, focus, B. What? It's, okay, when I wrote that message and hit send, I remember telling my therapist how I felt like I put my heart into it. I felt like I put my heart into it. I should put the connection. I didn't put the connection between the word heart and felt. Like, I knew I was sending them a message. I was sending them feedback. And it's going to be weird. I did tell her it was a heart. I put my heart into it. I didn't realize I was writing a heartfelt message. It's one of those, yeah, be careful what you ask for because you might just get it. It's when he said, because we could have been here clowning you. And I'm like, oh, shit. When I heard heartfelt message, first thought was, oh, shit, I feel naked. We can see your penis. And yeah, I remember feeling naked, a little embarrassed, and thinking of if I were to go back in time to when I was, to when I finished writing the email and I was about to hit the send button, if I went back in time and told that version of B Black, say, hey, yo, there's a potential that these niggas might clown you for this shit. And I wouldn't have asked, but do they do it? I wouldn't have asked. As soon as I heard that, I would have been like, fuck that, delete, not sending that shit. It's realizing, it's like when I hit that send button, I didn't realize what I was doing. I mean, yes, in terms of expectation, yes, I was hoping they would read my message. I was hoping that they might, you know, spark some wisdom and nothing like that. But the possibility of them getting, like, the possibility of me, them receiving this email at the wrong time, where one of them just felt like, man, I feel like clowning a motherfucker. You know, just, it could have, if the stars didn't align, that possibility, it's like, yeah, okay, some of this shit feels corny. Yeah, I wouldn't have sent the message. I would have did some more thinking to make sure, how can I make sure this message doesn't sound corny? Anyways, okay. So like I said, I was so focused on the possibility that it's the equivalent of me walking, me walking from point A to point B, and then people are freaking out, and I turn back and realize that, oh shit, I'm 3,000 feet over from over the floor. I have a fear of heights. You know, when you do something, you don't even think about it, right? And then you realize, you turn back, you realize that, oh shit, what did I do? Like, I have a friend who, the best way I can explain it, right? I have a friend who came back from Amsterdam, and he was unpacking his shit. He found a bag of all the unfinished roaches, unfinished joints that he, like, when he was going for to all the, what do you call that, to all the cafes, and every time he wouldn't finish a joint, he would just put it in, like, in his glad bag, and because he figured he'd smoke it before, whatever, right? Anyway, in true pothead fashion, homie forgot the bag of joints, of unfinished joints, in his knapsack. And that idea, so he's unpacking, he's looking at this bag and going, what the fuck? He went from, holy shit, I'm dead, to, holy shit, I got away with it. So I guess what I'm saying, yeah, it's that feeling of, oh, wow, I dodged a bullet. But no, I I'm also realizing that, you know, that's how men do, man. He was giving me a compliment. He's giving me a, but yeah, this is some man shit, right? He was giving me a compliment, but hey, man, nigga, you just sent some vulnerable shit. I think, yeah, I feel like it's the equivalent. I remember when a friend of mine was explaining to me how he went to, the country. It might have been Kenya. And he was talking about how he saw this waterfall. And shit, the shit made him tear up. And he's explaining to me this story. And instead of having mature, you know, being grateful that he shared this moment with me, I'm like, fuck, what are you gay? I can't remember what stupid shit I said, but it was to compensate. It was a balance between, oh, thank you for being vulnerable with me. But it was more that feeling of, yo, I'm feeling uncomfortable by this moment of vulnerability. Okay, look, let me just clarify, okay, because I don't know, because for all intents and purposes, Randolph could have just been joking. I mean, yes, he was joking, and he meant it. But the whole, hey, we could have been clowning this for you. It's like, ooh, that part, it's like, I felt it was the equivalent of me being like, hey, man, don't be saying that gay shit around me, you know, whatever, something like that there. But anyways, that's how he talks. But I remember, yeah, phase one, I was stuck on that. Phase two, and this is within the first listen. This is me experiencing. Phase one and phase two was all experience in that one moment. Phase three was after some reflecting, whatever, right? So phase two was, all right, I hear what you fellas are saying, but it kind of sounds like you're saying that there's no solution to my problem except for selling out. It's like phase two, I wasn't really paying attention to what they were trying to tell me. I was more like, it's like I was looking for my, okay, what about solutions, okay? So you're saying I should fuck up? I don't know if I thought maybe you should fly to the United States and stop doing comedy in Ottawa, shit like that, whatever, right? I wasn't paying attention to what they were telling me. So I was like, I don't feel like I'm getting any solutions here. More like, sounds like you're saying I'm screwed, ain't shit I can do about it. Just grin it and bear it. And then Rod, who was from the Blackout Tips, was on there, and he joked about how, okay, look, man, fuck what these niggas are saying. What I'm telling you is sell out. And here's the thing. Selling out is an option. But my problem is there's not enough cocaine in this world to help me numb that pain. Because one thing's for sure, I could sell out, make that money, get that bank deposit like Soulja Boy, Rick Ross, and Snoop Dogg. I know that feeling. But a lot of that money will be invested in cocaine to numb that part of the brain that's like, you know, black people don't like you. Those white people are calling you the N-word. Or calling you nigger behind your back, in your face. Dance for me, monkey. I don't know if there's okay, I'm going to stop talking about the inauguration. But yes, phase two was considering selling out, but realizing ain't enough cocaine in this world or with that kind of money, I could pay for a synthetic drug to numb that part of my brain. Finally, phase three. Phase three is after some deep reflection. See, I got to tell you, I'm the kind of person that you need to give me time to think about things. I'm not really good on initial reactions. I'm that person that, let me think about it. I used to be with this girl a long time ago. Okay, very incompatible. We're completely incompatible. And she hated how I needed time to think about things. And the thing is, and I hated when she would force me to make like swift decisions. Turkey or, you know, burger or pizza. Sure, I get it. You know, quick decision. But it's like, hey, you want to drive to Montreal to see my sister's wedding? Shit like that. It's like, but, you know, we've only known each other for a month. Whatever. Anyway, but my point is, it was from that relationship that I learned to accept that I'm the kind of person that for some things, especially major things, I need time to digest, process, and think. So there are times where I don't trust my initial reaction. So I took the time to process. And, yo, it was beautiful, man. I realized that we're having a conversation about self-esteem right now. This is another reminder that I need to, a self-esteem issue, okay? I guess that'll make sense if you listen to the episode 1422, Backstabbing Backstage, and because they read my letter and then they share their thoughts on how I should deal with me and my dilemma on how to come back to the comedy community. Self-esteem, yes. When in my teens, when I was in, during my teen days, I used to be that guy, that guy who liked to, I used to enjoy listening to Girls Problem with their boyfriends. A part of it was, you know, sometimes it was me being, doing some friend zone shit. It's like, yeah, if I listen to you, you'll let me, whatever. But there was another part that actually enjoyed the theoretical aspect of relationship. It's like, oh, okay, you guys are connecting and da-da-da. So I used to like, yeah, I enjoyed that shit. And every once in a while, but most of the women I would talk to, it's like they were like problematic type. They were like, they dated shitty men and all that. But I remember this one particular story, where after homegirl shared her story, I was like, I felt bad for the girl because she was unable to recognize that. I remember thinking, you know, you can walk away from that shit, right? It's like in her mind, it's like, yeah, walk away and do, and that's, it's like, it was sad because I was realizing that this poor girl, this poor woman, well, she was teenage, but so I'm gonna go girl, whatever. This poor girl doesn't realize she deserves better. And I don't mean like in some player shit, yo, you deserve better like me, but it's like, nah, you don't have to put up with a dude who cheats on you, hurts you, and shit like that. It was wild that she couldn't. It's like her she couldn't see outside of her narrow options. It was heartbreaking. Just hearing her talk, explain to me her story, and it's like, wow. So I'm telling you all this because I realized that in a way, I was that guy. The problems I was describing about the comedy community, the problems I was having with the comedy community, I'd be like, dude, you don't have to tolerate that kind of bullshit. It's, I had a realization that I don't have to be here. In a sense that, okay, there's more processing, there's more solutions that came up, but there's one thing I remember that I used to do when I was part of the comedy community is I used to treat it like it was a Toastmaster club. Hear me out. For those who aren't familiar, who Toastmaster is like a club for people who want to practice public speaking, want to get better at public speaking and develop leadership skills, like communication skills, develop communication and leadership skills. That's what, right? So it's a club, and the way the way it works is to practice, practice, practice. So you join a meeting. It's a club. You join a meeting. In every meeting, there's always some opportunity for you to speak in front of an audience. You can be the one giving a speech. You can be the one leading the meeting. You can be, so interesting is, you can be the one evaluating, giving feedback on someone else's speech. But there's constant ways to practice public speaking. And the biggest thing in there, the evaluator, there's a role called evaluator, and that's when someone gives a speech and you give feedback on their speech. And the most important, the core, your role as an evaluator is to inspire that person to show up to the lectern again. Some people think evaluator means, no, you just criticize the shit out of their speech. I didn't like this, I didn't like that. No. You're talking to the person, and you speak to them at a level where you understand that, okay, they can handle this. Okay, I won't start with a criticism. I'll just start with, this is everything I felt you did well. This is something I would have done differently. But the point is, the key concept in there is it's a club, and we're all trying to help each other get better at this shit. So it's like one big happy family. And one thing you don't ever do, is either interrupt a person while they're giving the speech or walk out. Yo, fuck. I'm exaggerating. I was going to say, you can get your ass kicked for, oh, sorry, I got to take this phone call. Are you fucking serious? Because, and everyone, for most part, there's a lot of people who are in there who are like sensitive. And it's like, yo, I won't call it recovery, but you're very mindful of each other's feelings. You don't want to be that person who causes someone to be like, yeah, I ain't ever coming back to, I'm never working on public speaking ever again. So it's like an encouraging atmosphere. So before I was in comedy, I was doing Toastmasters. And I remember, what made me transition from Toastmaster to doing comedy is because in Toastmaster, it didn't allow me to talk about the shit that I really wanted to talk about. Actually, I had one guy tell me that, yo, dude, you're a funny guy, but you ain't Toastmaster funny. No, you're funny, but you're more, you should try your shit in a comedy club. So comedy club offers you freedom in what you could talk about, right? My name is B Black. I'm going to talk about some black shit. The problem is, in the comedy community, there's all kinds of personalities and all kinds of people in there. There's some people that you are meant to hang out with, and there's some people who are toxic as fuck. You know what's interesting about comedians is, and I learned that the hard way, is thing about comedy is, I think the first time realizing that, oh, wow, comedians can be shitty people. How can you be this funny and likable and a terrible human being? All kinds of personality in the comedy community. I remember making that contrast. I'm like, because I grew up in like church community, and making the separation between church and comedy. And in church, you're like, you spend all your time hiding your sins. In comedy, nah, you put it on the fucking surface at the front. Sorry, that was a joke. I mean, it's true, but it's not sticking to my point. In a comedy community, there was all kinds of people. I remember one time being upset. I mean, I didn't express myself, but getting upset at people who would like do their set at open mics and then leave the club. I'm like, how dare you? You're supposed to support your fellow brothers in arms. And now I get it. Yo, all kinds of people. There are people who go for depression. There are people who need meds. There are people who are like, basically, mental health is a thing there. And it never occurred to me that the reason that person left is because it's the, as much, they're in a public setting, they're introverts. They're fucking, there's so much time they're willing to hang out on being among people. All kinds of people that were in there, man. I think biggest thing I'm going to do on a long list of things to try is, the first thing is not to treat it like a Toastmaster club. Focus on my own mental health. Do whatever I need to do to keep my mental health, and surround myself who were like-minded people. I pretty much got along with most folks in there, right? It's just part of my personality. But I also tried to get along with people I should not have tried. There was a dude, and it's only now that I'm able to admit this shit to myself. There was a dude in there who didn't like me. And fuck it, I'm just gonna say it. Shit, and very likely was some sheer jealousy, out of some petty bullshit jealousy. But in that time, I'm like, yo, this guy's he's fucking awesome. He's like, he's great. He's like, he's got, I saw skills in him that I wish I could emulate. So the idea, you're jealous of me? What the fuck? It was obvious, but I thought I was being arrogant by saying, come on, him jealous of you, whatever. But my gut was telling me, yo, watch these niggas that be close to you and make sure they do what they supposed to do. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. My alarm, my gut was saying, don't trust this guy. What do I do? The opposite. But love me, man. Love me. But I wasted a lot of energy on that. But anyways, yeah, I'm right now I'm at phase forgiving myself for ignoring the signs. But there was people like, I guess it's trusting my gut. But I say all this. Okay, I'm looking at the top. Okay, I'm saying all this. My greatest takeaway from the feedback from Andy Randolph. Holy shit. Holy fuck. Am I really going to forget his name? Mark, brother Mark. And Rod. The biggest takeaway is, or the realization that I got is, and this is also consistent with what my therapist was saying is don't do what you don't want to do and don't be wherever the fuck you don't want to be. I used to stick around at shows because I thought I was supporting the other comic. And while they were doing some shitty jokes up there, I'm not talking about racism, but I mean like just like I'm bored out of my fucking mind. I'm like, yo, maybe if I drink more liquor, it'll help me pass the time. I'm like, I'm dying here. I would stick to the end because I felt like we were all in this together. But it's also a skill that I need to learn is mindful of people you should. You know, the biggest thing is when I remember reading, before I heard the episode 1422, Backstabbing Backstage, I read the description because I was like, maybe this is the episode where they read my letter. And they used the words, we're going to talk about toxic comedy spaces. And I remember reading that and going, oh shit, I didn't realize I was describing a toxic environment. It's wild. I didn't put two and two together. It's like, and it, part of it too is because I grew up believing that, okay, if you're in a toxic environment, make yourself comfortable. Because the Lord will use you to make it untoxic. I don't know, whatever, man. But it's like, there's something about being in a toxic environment and I felt like, okay, I could stay here as opposed to I don't need to fucking be here. What? Because we're related? No, I don't need to be here. You know what? The black belt of that level of being I don't need to be here is being in a job where the environment is toxic and I'm realizing, you know what? I don't need to fucking, I don't fuck the money. I'm out. I don't need to be here. Fuck, that's powerful. And also the title of 235, today's episode. This concludes today's episode. Holy shit. What time is it? Yeah, okay. Damn, low on energy, but we made it. We made it. We made it, boys and girls. Hold on a second. We did it. Yay! Wait, did I say 234? I meant 235. I hope I said 235. All right. Website, again, shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be that Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.